we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast, and I pray today that the scriptures that we share with you, that they are going to be refreshing, that they are going to be informative, and that you and I will come away thoroughly appreciating what God has to say to us in His Word. So we are talking today about the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, and out of Isaiah chapter 61. And so that's what we are going to be looking at today. We're looking at the anointing that the Lord has for us. And it's not an anointing that we conjured up ourselves. It's not anything that another man conferred upon us or a group of people conferred upon us because we didn't like what was going on. It is an anointing that has come from God. And today I want to take you to begin in 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse number 1. And it says, "Now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, 'Take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi.' Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, 'This is the day of which the Lord said to you, Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.' And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, 'The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord.' So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward, went out of the cave and called out to Saul, saying, 'My Lord, the king.' And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, 'Why do you listen to the words of men who say, Indeed, David seeks your harm? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave. And someone urged me to kill you, but my eyes spared you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, no one see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you, yet you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancient says, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue, a dead dog, a flea? Therefore let the Lord be judge and judge between you and me, and see and plead my case and deliver me out of your hand.'" And we'll end the reading there. You can go on, and Saul realizes that he's been wrong, and he ends up departing, and then he comes back and tries to kill David at another time. What we have here is a battle between two men who are both anointed by God for the same office but different times. And in all honesty, folks, people don't like to wait. We don't like to wait. I've got traffic signals that are on my path home, and I tell you, I counted them up one day. I missed 6 traffic lights in a row. I was the first person to miss the traffic signal all the way home and then all the way back from there. I missed every traffic light that I could. And we don't like to wait. We don't like to wait for things. When we're children, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? We can't wait to get to our next destination. And I did some contemplating on that. And one of the reasons I believe that kids have that mindset, are we there yet, is because waiting is such a huge percentage of the life that they have lived at that point in time. For us, it's hours of 1 hour of thousands of hours. But for them, it's a much larger percentage of their life. And so there's like, My life is wasting away sitting here in the back seat waiting to get to this destination. And I will tell you this, that you don't want to get to God's destination before that he has for you prematurely. That doesn't go well. And we see that here in the life of David. David had been anointed by Samuel to be king. Samuel was the same person who had anointed Saul to be king, but it was because of sin in Saul's life. It was because there were things that were going on that should not have been going on. He wasn't paying close attention to the word of God. He wasn't being as obedient as God had wanted him to be. Listen to what Samuel had told Saul when he told him that it's verse Samuel chapter 15, verse number 17. So Samuel said, "When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel?" If you and I are going to be anointed to accomplish anything of eternal value or spiritual value, we've got to remain humble. We've got to remain little in our own eyes. Now, I want you to know, God's got to remain large in our eyes, and we need to remain little in our eyes. We need to realize that without him, we can do nothing. It doesn't matter what you have been anointed to do. If God doesn't partner with you in that process, you're not going to have the success that you need. And as a result of God withdrawing from Saul, as far as, you know, being able to utilize him to accomplish his purposes, then Saul began to lash out at those who were anointed to succeed him. And I want to encourage you. I pray that your view of faith is generational. You know, now, in all reality, I believe that we should be urgently ready and preparing people as quickly as we can for the Lord to return. I believe that things are happening on a global scale that have us right on the precipice of the return of Christ. I believe that we should be ready. But I believe that we should also be preparing those underneath us, those with whom we have influence, that they would be able to be anointed by God and that they would be able to go forth and walk. You know, when Elijah was running from Jezebel, God gave him an instruction. He said, you know, this is the cure that I have for you, and that is that you still have purpose in this life. If you are sitting around and depressed all the time, I encourage you to be as determined to hear from God as Elijah was. And what happened with Elijah was God said, I'm wanting you to anoint Elisha as your successor. I want you to anoint Jehu as king over Israel, and I want you to anoint this other person as king over a different nation. There were three different anointings that he wanted him to do. And he anointed Elisha. Elisha ended up completing the tasks that Elijah did not. The people that he did not anoint to be king, Elisha did. One of those guys was the name of Jehu. I love parts of Jehu because of his personality. I don't love everything that Jehu did, but Jehu was approached by this messenger who had this anointing oil and said, I have a message from God for you. And Jehu said, okay, tell me what it is. And he pours the anointing oil over his head and said, God anoint you king over Israel. And there's, you're going to, see a dynasty change upon the throne of Israel. Jehu goes back and he meets with his friends. Now, you've got to understand, it wasn't just a little dabble, do you, the way that we tend to anoint people with oil now. This oil was poured over his head, and they went back and they had this meeting with their friends, and they said, well, what did he tell you? And he said, oh, you know what, that man, he's just crazy. And he's got all this anointing oil that is running down him, and they said, that's not true. You're not telling us the truth. What did he say? And he said, well, God anointed me king over Israel. Immediately, those people started declaring him king over Israel, and he began to take actions right at that point in time to depose the person who was on the throne. And there was a great massacre that took place that eliminated the royal lineage at that point. It not only affected the nation of Israel, it also affected the nation of Judah. And the thing I like about Jehu is they were watching as he was coming in his chariot, and they said, you know, the person driving that chariot drives like Jehu. And, you know, I do appreciate that part of the personality. I don't appreciate the part of not waiting. We're going to touch on that here in just a moment. But I do appreciate that when you've got an assignment to do, that you are very driven to accomplish it. If I had people to describe you, would they be able to describe your driving? Now, my kids make fun of my physical driving. They do. They don't like the way that I approach things, because if I can leave earlier and eliminate stress from my life, I'm going to do that. I am allergic to speeding. It causes my wallet to break out into poverty. I don't like to speed because I don't want to get any speeding tickets. My budget can't handle them, and I don't want to give the state of Florida any more money than I have to. And so they make fun of my driving because I'm not a real aggressive driver. I've got a friend who's from New Jersey originally, and he says, when I go back to New Jersey, I can revert to aggressive driving very, very quickly. How's your spiritual drive? You know, there are all sorts of commercials on television that talks about people's drive to lose weight and people's drive for intimacy and people's drive for education. All of those things are about what drives an individual. And I want to ask you, are you driven spiritually? Are you driven because you've got a call of God on your life and you say, you know what, I'm going to make the most out of every opportunity? Because I believe that we should be very driven. Now, back to our story in 1 Samuel 24, where David is positioned. Saul's trying to kill David. He's trying to kill David simply because he doesn't like God's plan. And I want you to know, the scripture says that God's plans will not be thwarted. And so if you don't like God's plan, you can protest all you want, but God is not going to change his plan. There was another time when Saul was closing in on David, and all of a sudden the Philistines attacked, and a messenger came, and Saul had to peel off from pursuing David so that he could go attend to the real enemy, which was the Philistines. My enemy is not another person who is anointed. I want you to stay with me here and focus, because what David did, David had the opportunity to kill him. He was actually being to kill King Saul. He was actually being encouraged to do so, and he cut off the corner of Saul's robe, and he was immediately convicted, because he said this: "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is anointed of the Lord." Okay? David said, "I will not stretch out my hand against him." And he was very intent. Not only was he not going to do it, but he wasn't going to allow any of his men to do it. When Saul did die, an Amalekite came running to him and to David in Ziklag and said, "Look, I brought you the crown. I brought you this. Saul's dead." And David said, "How do you know he's dead?" And he said, "Well, he had fallen upon his sword, on his spear. He wasn't quite dead. And so he asked me to kill him. And so I killed him, and I brought this stuff to you." And David said, "Why weren't you afraid to reach out your hand against the Lord's anointed?" A little while later, Saul's son was on the throne, and two men rose up and killed him in his bed. And David said, "You know, there was this guy one time, he thought he was bringing me good news, and that he said that he had struck down the Lord's anointed, and how much more will two wicked men who killed a man in his own bed, how much more will you pay the price for touching God's anointed now?" And those people, David was very serious about don't touching the anointed of the Lord. Abner was actually reproved by David on another account. In 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse number 16, it says, "This thing that you have done is not good. As the Lord lives, you deserve to die, because you have not guarded your master, the Lord's anointed, and now see where the king's spear is and the jug of water that was by his head." David had actually crawled down into Saul's tent and took the belongings that were there, and he told Abner, he said, "You deserve to die because you were not protecting the Lord's anointed." I've got a simple question for you, and that is this: how do you feel about your pastor? How do you feel about your boss? How do you feel about those that God has positioned in authority? Because we should be guarding them. We should be praying for them. We should be doing whatever is necessary to make sure that there is not a successful attack upon those anointed of the Lord. Now stick with me, because you think that you may be thinking that I'm preaching this from a self-centered motive, but I want you to rest assured that I'm not. Okay? David had the mindset that he did not want to be the one who attacked the anointed of the Lord, because he had been anointed. He didn't want to sow seeds that would one day become a harvest of attack in his own life. If he reached out and used his hand to touch the Lord's anointed, then someone may also use their hand and reach out and lash out against David at another point in time. And I just want to encourage you to be very protective of those that God has called and those that he has anointed. Now, last verse we're going to touch on for today, Psalm 105. Let me read this passage for you. Verse number 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works. glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you chosen, you children of Jacob, his chosen one. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute. To Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance, when they were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it. Listen, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time came that his word came to pass. And that's where we're going to end the reading. You see, it wasn't just David that was anointed. It wasn't just Saul or Samuel. It wasn't any of those other people who were anointed for their specific task. But in all reality, the nation of Israel was a congregation of anointed ones by God. And he said this. Now, listen, he says this, don't touch the ones that I've anointed. Keep your hands off of them. Okay? And keep your tongues off of them. You don't want to... Listen, when God says don't touch something, he means that it has dire consequences if you do. It says he permitted no one to do them wrong, and he rebuked kings for their sakes. When kings did not comply with God's plans for how he wanted to use them to bless his nation, to bless the nation of Israel, he just took the other kings out. He found another way to bless. And so I want you to see today that you, as an anointed child of God, one who is equipped by God, consecrated and sanctified by God and set apart for his holy purpose, that you have divine protection. You have protection that wherever you go, when you're anointed by God, that he is going to speak on your behalf. He will rebuke on your behalf, correct on your behalf. He will be your protection, your shield, your fortress. He says, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. I don't know about you, but I feel quite secure when I know that God is saying, look, these people are not supposed to be experiencing injury from your hand. When you I can tell you this, as a father, as a husband, that whenever someone attacks someone under my authority, it immediately created a different response than if they had just attacked me. Okay? As I was on my way to the radio station today, there was a person who was just not a courteous driver. Just not a courteous driver. I'll just leave it at that. That's putting it kindly. It is okay. Nothing eternal. But there was a person one time who was driving, and they were being very reckless and came within inches of killing my daughter because they were too much in a hurry. They ran a red light and were speeding at a very high rate of speed. And my daughter never knew it. I want you to know that I take my responsibility to be my covering for my wife and my kids very, very highly. In fact, I have a rule. If you want to see my demeanor change, you either touch my wife, touch my kids, or touch the church. Those are the people that I have been given direct authority to be a protection for, and I take my responsibility very seriously. I wonder what would happen if in our churches, instead of attacking those anointed of the Lord, we began to guard them and we began to protect them, and we weren't asleep at the wheel like Abner was. I wonder what it would be like if somebody lashed out against your pastor, and all of a sudden, instead of, you know, siding with them or just staying silent, you said, "Now, wait a minute. You've got to understand, that's the person that God has assigned as the overseer and the watchman of my soul. Don't be attacking them. That's not going to go well for you." I believe that if we had that type of mindset, whether it's a Sunday school teacher, a board member, whether it is the president of the United States, whoever it might be that God has put into that office, if instead of attacking them or condoning people who are attacking them, and I'm talking about no matter which party they represent in the White House, I'm saying, what would happen if we'd say, "You know what, brother, you are violating scripture at this point in time, and I want to prophetically warn you that that's not going to go well for you." You see, even if there's disagreement as far as things go, there is a proper way to go about that. There is a proper way to pray, and attacking and one another is not the way to go about it. The Bible does not say, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by the way that you consume and devour one another." That's not what it says. Paul warned, said, "Be careful that the church does not end up cannibalizing itself and devouring one another." The word actually says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." And part of that love process is saying, "You know what? I'm not going to attack the one, even if I'm being attacked, I'm not going to be the one that launches an attack, because the Lord anointed." You know, when I was first called into ministry, early in my ministry, I was told, "You're worthless and you'll never make it in the ministry." And I want to thank God that that prophecy was not true. God bless you. You have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."